Our next documentary is about a form of art that mediates and the formulas in nature. Storytelling producer and engineer Noah Burbank spoke with Jen Carlisle about her music.
As a special treat, I present to you a beautiful piece by Jen Carlisle called Rethinking the Weather. For this piece, Jen wrote functions in a programming language, Lisp, that model the forms of clouds and convert them into music. I recently sat down with Jen for tapas and drinks at a local Spanish tavern. If you're anything like me, you probably find a lot of modern experimental music inaccessible, and so, after discussing weather, not just the weather, Jen talks about how to enjoy modern music. So first we talk about the process of creating her piece, and then she walks us through it. So prepare yourself to understand a sophisticated modern composition. All background music is from Jen's extensive collection of field recordings, which you'll find both in her piece, Rethinking the Weather, and all over this interview. How would you advise somebody to try and access this kind of music? Where does one start?
Well, I think that one of the reasons that people have a hard time accessing this type of music is they think that there's one right way to interpret it. And, you know, if it was composed by a PhD student, then it's probably a very high level, very brainy interpretation that is the correct one. But really, at least I think that the best way to interpret a piece of music is just listen to it and see how you react to it, taking your own experiences. And, you know, does it speak to you? Do you recognize parts, you know, sounds? Do you recognize rhythms? Like, you just need to make it a very personal experience. And whether or not your interpretation is the same interpretation as the composer's, you know, that really is beside the point.
Why do you call it Rethinking the Weather? What is being rethought?
Well, the title Rethinking the Weather, I borrowed from Daedalus, who is one of my favorite electronic musicians. And you just have these moments where you're like, oh, of course, that's the title. You don't have to put a whole lot of thought into it. It just seems right. That was sort of the process with Rethinking the Weather. When I was a graduate student, I had a lot of time for thought, creative thought. I would spend a lot of time, laying on my back in the grass and looking up at the sky, or at the beach on the sand looking up at the sky. So I guess it's something that you encounter pretty much every day, and it's, I don't know, the thing about weather is there are all sorts of things. There's like the temperature, there's the pressure, there's the wind, and there's the clouds, and, you know, many other things. Temperature, you can feel kind of, you know, you can tell when it's hot and it's when it's cold. There's no visual representation. Like pressure, you can feel when your ears pop, but again, no visual representation. The clouds, there really is a visual representation, you know, they are visual. It's a visual phenomenon. So it's kind of one of the few ways, you know, visual ways we have of interacting with the weather.
So why did you choose the most visual way of interacting with the weather and turn it into sound?
Good question. I think I was sitting in the car driving to get some takeout dinner with one of my classmates, and he's very philosophical, and brought up the point that granular synthesis is reminiscent of all of the particles in the atmosphere that are used to that make a really beautiful sunset. Granular synthesis is a way of creating sound where you take very short snippets of an actual sound, like the sound of a bell or the sound of a frog ribbiting, and you take a section that's 10 milliseconds, and then you repeat that section of sound, over and over again, and it becomes more like a texture. You no longer hear it as a frog ribbiting. You hear it as like a bzzz. It sounds very electronic, even though it comes from often a environmental source.
What parts are in the composition?
Computer-based clouds that use a synthesized piano, and we write functions that control the frequency of the cloud, or the kind of the central frequency of the cloud, and also the temporal space, and also the physical space. Like whether, say, if it's coming from two speakers, you can manipulate the levels coming from each speaker so that it will seem, you know, either in exactly in the middle of the two speakers, or closer to one speaker, or closer to the other.
Where are the ambient sounds from? A lot of noises.
Mm-hmm. The ambient sounds I used in the piece are all field recordings I made from my window in my apartment when I lived in Sweden. I lived there during the summer months. It was like May and June, and there were these fantastic, huge thunderstorms every night at about 10 or 11 p.m. Just the sky would open up, and it would be a huge rain shower, thunder, lightning, the whole works, and then it would just stop after about 15 minutes. And I really grew to love these thunderstorms. But these particular recordings, I was at home, and my roommate had this loud kind of piano music going on in the background, and it was spaced. It was working exactly with the thunderstorm. Like there would be a crash in the music, and then there would be a crash in the thunder. And it was just this serendipitous moment where everything just came together.
And now for Jen's piece, Rethinking the Weather.
So we're starting, we have an alto stratus cloud. It's sort of, you know, sparse in time. Now we have their first fair weather cumulus coming in. You can hear that the notes are very tightly spaced in time. And they also are fairly tightly spaced in frequency. I have another fair weather cumulus coming in. Now we have a cumulus congestus that came through. That's a precipitating cloud. It has an ominous sound. Now we've gotten into the alto cumulus clouds, which are kind of a cross between an alto stratus and a cumulus, where they have a more compact feeling to them, where the notes are more tightly spaced in time. So now we're getting into a nimbostratus cloud, which is a precipitating cloud. Once again, with the ominous feel. Has very wide frequency range, very, very high notes and very low notes. Our first field recording, which is a recording of the rain from my apartment window. And so the piano that you hear now is a mixture of the synthesized piano and the piano from the actual field recording that was my roommate was playing. Sound is growing more ominous, like there's thunder and kind of a buildup in emotion. A very loud thunderclap. This is a field recording. Thunder is dying down, but it's still raining. I have a fairly compact cloud. We have, you know, many piano notes. The piano has stopped, so the clouds are parting. Yet it's still raining. You can hear a siren in the background. This is a field recording. There were a lot of accidents during the thunderstorms. They were terrible storms. What I would hear every day in Sweden. So sort of a quiet section of the piece. Now we're getting into one of the field recordings, one of the serendipitously beautiful field recordings where the thunder would happen and then the music in the background just went along with it amazingly well. So we're hearing more piano notes now, and this is an alto stratus cloud where it's sort of sparsely spaced in time, and it's also kind of all over the frequency map. So this is sort of a large, sparse cloud. Back to just a field recording. Just a light rain. Rain's getting heavier.
Fireworks.
As you can tell, it sounds like fireworks almost. The thunder. Now we have a nimbostratus cloud, which is a precipitating cloud. I think this part of the piece where it actually has the sound of the rain and the synthesized cloud is a really nice part of the piece. And then we're getting to the end where we end with a cumulocongestus cloud, which is, you know, sparse in time, but also has sections that are you know, more compact, both in time and in frequency.
Jen Carlisle is a former graduate student at CCRMA.